This is P.S. You're Wrong, the podcast where we talk trash about the things people love to hate and hate to love, and we're your hosts, Shelby and Matt.
And I would like to apologize to our listeners up front for what I'm sure is going to be the most confusing episode of our podcast ever. I was thinking about this today after I finished watching the movie It's What's Inside, which is what we're talking about, the Netflix movie, and I was like, I don't even know how to begin to, like... There's character names, but I don't remember those. There's actors' names, but then the characters are switching bodies, so the character is in a different actor's body.
Tangled web. But, yeah.
I'm just like, even watching it, that it's like they try their darndest to make sure that you know who is who, and I'm still I was still sitting there like, okay, wait, what? Like that person's in there. Oh no, that person was in that person's body, but then that body died, so now the soul of that person is dead, but the body is alive, and the body is in the soul of another person.
No, it was quite the journey. It's a film that came out on Netflix after premiering at, I don't know, some festival last year or earlier this year.
Yeah.
Oh, cute. And it just kind of popped up and has been building this like great word of mouth. And so more and more people have seen it. And it's kind of this unexpected bop. I don't know. Like it reminds me a lot of Bodies, Bodies, Bodies. Similar vibes in that a bunch of millennials gather for ne'er do good party. And things go awry quickly. Lots of frenetic editing choices and color choices and character choices. But yeah, at the heart of it, it's a body swap movie where these estranged friends from college reunite on a wedding eve of one of the ringleaders. And someone brings this technology where you can swap bodies with the other players, and so chaos almost immediately ensues. And it's fun because it goes like, it's a pretty generic idea, and I feel like you can find all sorts of comps for how it's been done in the past, but it managed to be surprising and kind of play with the premise in fun different ways, at least for me. So I had a pleasant time watching this, and in fact I watched it twice in 1 week because I wanted Rob to watch it, so.
I do think watching it twice would be helpful because it is sort of complicated. I really enjoyed this. I think it reminds me almost slightly of Strange Darling, like not necessarily in the like premise at all, but just in that movie, which came out earlier this year, was another like sort of low budget thriller kind of thing with a unique premise in that the storyline was like told in 6 chapters, but the chapters were told out of order. So as the movie's going, you're sort of getting this interesting picture of what happened, or it's sort of like revising what you think happened. And it works really well. And I think that this the concept for this one with the body swapping also works really well. And the way that they kind of let the story unfold, I think, is very well scripted and very smart. So I also really enjoyed watching it. It was a lot more interesting than I necessarily thought it was gonna be. Like, I didn't know what it was about going into it. Because you just texted me like, oh, there's this movie on Netflix, and I was like, oh, I recognize this poster from Letterboxd, but I sort of thought it was just like you know, like it was going to be like Scream or something, like some horror movie. And then when the guy arrives with the briefcase and it's like, let's swap bodies, I was like, oh, okay, this is a fun little wrinkle to this that I didn't realize was happening. And you can definitely tell that something is going to go awry, but there seemed to be a lot of different things that could have gone wrong. And so the things that did weren't necessarily what I was expecting to have happen.
Yeah.
Like, they weren't necessarily, like, shocking, but I think there's just like a lot of different opportunities for directions you can go with this machine. And you know, the ways that they did go with it, I think were fun, but they could have taken other choices too. And yeah, it was a fun romp. Yeah, they sort of have it set up slightly, I think, at the end for a sequel. And this feels ripe for like a franchise because you could bring this machine to all kinds of settings with all different kinds of people and do different things with it.
Yeah, definitely. But I liked it, sort of what and done. I think it's interesting too because it's directed, written and edited by the same guy who has, this is his first feature film. He's had a successful career doing like a lot of the award-winning, I guess, like teasers and promos and trailers, but this is his first feature. And I think some people are like, this isn't saying anything. Like, it's not saying anything. Like, you know, bodies took on like privilege and class and millennial zeitgeist, and Ready or Not takes on the wealth disparity. And so many movies are now issue movies, even if they run serious or run fun. And this definitely felt a little more frothy, a little bit more, you know, you get what you get. Like, it's just enjoy the ride. Like, it's a shot and chaser situation, which I enjoy. I think we sometimes have lost that, right? Like, we're so desperate to have media tell us something about ourselves that we discredit things that are more superficial. But like, we grew up in the era of like freaking Hot Rod, you know what I mean? Like, Napoleon Dynamite was the biggest movie when I was in high school. So I feel like it's okay to have movies that are just fun.
But I also don't necessarily think I agree with that. Like, I do feel like this movie does have some sort of interesting things to say. Like, it definitely has kind of a Midsommar type plot going on where it's these, like, the main character, I guess, is this girl, and they're sort of, what?
Her name's Shelby.
Oh, yes. That's true. Her name is Shelby. And she's played by Brittany O'Grady, who is Sydney Sweeney's friend in The White Lotus, if you can remember.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yes.
And so she and her boyfriend are the only like couple that's still together in this group of eight people. Like, there are some people who had previously dated and whatever, but they're the couple and they've been dating for like 9 years or something. And you can just tell that the relationship is bad, that the girl is trying, but the guy sucks. And in the opening, you see him sort of, he's jerking off in bed, and she comes in to like try to sort of spice things up, and he's like, no, I don't want to do this. And you can just tell that it's bad, that he is bad news. And so sort of as the movie is progressing, he keeps doing bad, shitty things, and it gets to the end where, you know, she sort of has the option to you know, like, finish him off, or she has the option to like give him a good life or give him a bad life. And she sort of is like, you know what? No, you actually are a terrible person. Like, you're going to get what's coming to you.
Yeah.
And so I thought that, you know, like,
yeah, it plays with relationship dynamics and sort of dating as a,
yeah, it's not as pointed, I think, as Bodies is in some of its commentary, but there definitely is some of that in here. And like, okay, there's this influencer girl who's, you know, sort of vapid, and there's like a really rich guy who you know, is like living off his parents' money or whatever. So
there's a lot of tropes. I was curious, like, watching, because I remember one of the criticisms of Blink Twice was sort of having these forgettable, like, not fully drawn or interesting characters. And I think, to me, this had the same issue, but I didn't mind as much because it didn't necessarily matter. Like, it's very much just a what's happening at the party situation. Like, you're very, it doesn't really time jump at all, or offer any sort of additional context through flashback or flash forward, really. But did that bother you, or did you enjoy the cast?
Well, I think with Blink Twice is that it feels that I felt like I didn't understand, like, the main characters very well.
Yeah.
And because the world is so different there, it felt like I needed some more backstory. Where this, it's like, okay, yes, most of the characters are caricatures, but I felt like the main girl was a fairly, like, fleshed out person in her development. And also, it's like, since these are all regular people, like, yes, it has like a sci-fi element, but separate of that, like, everything is pretty normal.
Yeah.
You can get a good sense of who they are, even if you don't have that much backstory, where it's like, okay, we all know the girl who, like, started dating this guy in college and they haven't really gotten along and they've been together for a bazillion years and they sort of all seem unhappy, but they've been together so long. It's like, how are they gonna untangle from each other? Like, I feel like that is something that we've seen. And then whenever you have one of these sort of horror movies where you have to, like, either kill off a bunch of characters, or where, like, the characters have to be recognizable, but also you don't have a lot of time to go into all of the characters' backstories, like, then you sort of have to deal in tropes. You have to be like, okay, there's the influencer girl, there's the sort of, like, woo-woo spiritual person, there's the jock, there's the, like, douchey rich guy, there's the nerd. I felt like I was actually sort of a little bit surprised because there were a couple of characters in the mix that I felt like didn't really have like a signifying feature. Like the girl who has the two different colored hair. It's like, what, like, did she have, like, she was just sort of there. Like,
Yeah, it was like her and the other artists were sort of she was high. Like, that was her shtick.
She was high.
Yeah.
Okay. She was like the pot smoker or whatever.
Yeah. They were both like artistic.
Yeah. And then the groom, the guy who's getting married, who invites everybody over, he also sort of, like, doesn't really have that much of a character other than he's just, like, the groom and getting married.
Well, and he's still pining for his college girlfriend.
Right, yes, who's the other girl.
Yeah. So I guess we can break down the plot. I mean, I think it's the most fun part, obviously, to talk about how zany it gets. But is there anything else overall?
I'm trying to think. Did you recognize, like, very many of the cast members, I guess, is another question. I knew Gavin Leatherwood from Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. He's sort of like he's like the tattoo covered one.
That's what my sister-in-law said. I recognize the main boyfriend, but I wasn't quite sure from where, but I think it's from Secret Lives of College Girls. He's in one of those seasons, I think, as another douchey love interest. So, playing to type. But no, everyone, honestly, that was the most fun, especially in a rewatch, was obviously they all switch bodies at some point, and so they all have to embrace each other's mannerisms and tics and kind of sell that they are another person in another character's body. And I think they all did such a good job, even though these aren't, like, necessarily household names and it's not your bread and butter, like, Oscar baity stuff, obviously, but just, like, the little mannerisms, I felt like it was fascinating because you could easily kind of pick up on who was in whose body, especially with, like, the main swap between Nikki, the social media star, and Shelby, the, like, sort of sad girl. and so it was always fun to, like, watch them try and inhabit these other bodies, and, like, again with the main dude who's sort of awkward and insecure and aggro in a lot of ways, like, him having to be in these other bodies, like, being that annoying but also not being himself. Like, it was really fascinating and fun, and it made me excited for these actors because it seemed like, you know, it's not necessarily the easiest thing to do to create your own character and then on top of that act out the other characters you're surrounded by. But it was good. It was fun.
Yeah, it seems like it would have been a lot of fun for them on set.
Yeah, very hectic. Like,
yeah, doing these. I also, so they, we'll get into the plot in a second, but there's like multiple rounds of body swapping. And when they came up with, like, round one on the screen, I was like, oh my gosh, like, how many of these are there? Because there's there's like no way I'm going to be able to keep track of this like through this whole movie. But then they only really do it twice. So I was like, oh, okay. We don't even have like a third round of this. It's just like the first sort of easy prelim and then the actual round where the shit goes down. So I did appreciate that.
It was
that.
Clever. It was clever editing because obviously they had the shtick where like once you guess who's in your body, you like wear this Polaroid. So you like can see, oh, this is Shelby, but it's actually, you know, Nikki's body.
Thank God for that.
Yeah.
Thank
but
God.
But then on top of it, they also would like intersperse like the actual characters' minds / souls, whatever's essence, in like a filtered red version. Like, so you'd watch the bodies argue and then be reminded of who's actually doing the arguing. And I thought that was good and clever editing too. Not only to keep sort of the frenetic energy going because it does move very quickly, but also to like keep people as keyed in as possible to who's doing what, where, when, why, how.
Yeah, I did appreciate that. Although you could sort of tell who was like where the twist was coming or like where something was going to happen by who they didn't show. Because like when they show, oh, like this is actually this person and they're making out with this person who's actually this other person, it was like, okay, like we know who this is. But then when there would sometimes be like a conversation where they'd show who one of the people was, but not the other, you're like, oh, okay, so like, who is that second person and why are you keeping it hidden from us? But, I like that. I honestly could have probably done with more of that. Like, towards the end, when they get into the, like, most convoluted sort of scenarios, they jump to these, like, where a character is talking, they kind of go to, like, I don't even know, like, a montage of, like...
The, like, photo framing.
Yeah, of, like, photos and, like, photoshopping and stuff. And I thought that that was really helpful when I got to that point. And I'm like, we could have probably had a couple more of those earlier on, and that would have helped me slightly. But I also think that, all of their choices were really smart and it didn't feel too cumbersome, even though it was sort of complicated. And like the fact that they're all wearing these Polaroids is like, okay, obviously this is for the audience, but it didn't feel so weird that it took me out of it.
Yeah. Well, and that's the other thing is like the photo series for the, cause they give the background spiel about like who fell out with who and why has Forbes been sort of missing. I thought that was such a clever way to like very, very quickly, like give the backstory while also honoring like how people actually talk. Cause it's just friends gossiping. And so the story keeps shifting and changing. And so the photo keeps shifting and changing to sort of show like how, this has been like watered down and kind of become this nebulous story that they can't really prove or remember or validate. And so you get this fun sort of re-edit every time they're like, no, actually this happened, or no, it was his birthday, or this happened, you know? And I thought that was like a really fun way that also added to the characters instead of just serving for the audience alone, you know?
It sort of reminded me a little bit of, and God forbid that we bring this movie back up, Ant-Man, when they would do those sort of recountings of that. And, you know, like Michael Peña would be saying like, and then she said, girl, no, blah, 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 blah. And it's like the other actors sort of like, acting out and saying the lines, but it's his voice the whole time. I liked the way that they did the way that, like, you can sort of tell that this is one of those movies that this man probably worked on the script, like it was his first movie and it was sort of a passion project that he'd been working on for a while, because it is very well thought out and the script is really strong and it works really smoothly. And you can see a sort of version of this that had come from a studio and been passed through 100 rounds that's somehow like more clunky and doesn't use all of these sort of out of left field filming techniques. But yeah, I guess to get into the plot. So what's the name of the man who's getting married? Ruben?
Ruben's getting married.
Yes, Ruben's getting married, and he's sort of like the jock kind of guy. And so he invites these seven other friends to his, is it his house?
Yeah, it's his mother's house.
Yeah, it's his house for this like get together night, the night before his wedding, because they had made some sort of promise way back when that they would do this. So he's asked all these friends, even though they haven't necessarily seen each other in a while. And it's the couple, including the like douchey guy and the shy girl. And then there's an influencer. There's the like hippy dippy girl. There's the pot smoker who Ruben is secretly been in love with the whole time. And then there's like the tattooed, like, I don't know, like dumb douchey kind of bro. And so that's when we get most of the backstory and the setup as to like who people are, what their relationships are. And that's where we keep getting this story about this guy named
Forbes,
who's the eighth friend who is not present at the party and nobody has seen since college. And Ruben's like, oh, I invited him anyways. And everyone's like, oh, he probably won't come. But maybe he will. And oh, why didn't we talk to him? And then, you know, yeah, you sort of get all of this background information.
Because he was expelled at a party that went awry.
Yeah, it's like
sister getting drunk.
Yeah, his sister, who was underage, was somehow at this party, got drunk, maybe hooked up with somebody. The details are sort of nebulous at the beginning of the movie. But then Forbes does show up in the middle of the night and has this machine with him. And he's like, oh, me and my team, we built this body swapping machine. And basically everybody gets hooked up and then your consciousness goes to somebody else's body. And what we use it for is just to like play fun games where you have to figure out who is in which body, which it's like, I, of course, I'm like, what? Like actual... like good could possibly come from this
immediately
machine. Like
clocked this it as just will seems not be doing this.
terrible.
It's like talk to me. It's like no, I'm not
no,
going
exactly.
to touch that hand.
It's exactly like talk to me. It's like will not be doing that. Like nope. So Shelby doesn't really want to do it because she's shy and a baby.
And logical.
Everyone else is like, yeah, great. So they hook up and they play a first round and it's like pretty obvious who is who for the most part, because like one of them freaks out right away. And so they're like, oh, that's obviously Shelby. And one of them like talks really high and they're like, oh, well, that's like the pot smoker girl or whatever. So that round is pretty uneventful for the most part, with the exception of, I don't know. Do you want to explain this part? I'm still slightly confused.
Yeah, so Cyrus, who's the boyfriend, who starts off the movie by having a crush on their influencer friend and like watching her videos as he jerks off. And he is now in the body of someone else and he's kind of wandering around, but it's also revealed that Forbes lies and tells the group that he's actually Cyrus. So Cyrus sort of has this free pass where everyone thinks he is Forbes, but he's in fact Cyrus in someone's body, in Ruben's body. And so he's wandering around this really weird house and he ends up running into one of the artist girls, Maya, I think. And she is in Nikki's body. So you're confused. But the point is, this woman had been in a relationship with Ruben. So she's attracted to his body. And Cyrus, who's in Ruben's body, has always been attracted to the influencer girl's body. And so they sort of stumble into this makeout session, both sort of being like, oh, I've always wanted you, meaning the physical bodies. And so Cyrus, you know, finally gets a piece of what he's always wanted, but then it goes awry. He stubs his toe or something and it breaks it off and it's kind of awkward. And then he gets all defensive because then he walks into Shelby, who's making fun of him, not knowing it's him, and how like uptight and sexless their life is. And so he's immediately like, he honestly is just the perfect like epitome of this type of dude. Like they just played him so well, cast him so well, because he's just so annoying and hypocritical and insecure while also being strangely aggro, and he just plays it very well. And so he doesn't want to do a second round because he, you know, felt unsafe or unvalidated in the ways he wanted. But by the time the second round comes around, Shelby wants to, because she had a lot of fun, like letting go and living in another body, and felt like it was invigorating. So they all sign up for a second round, and things get pretty wonky pretty fast. I mean, there's like 17 stories happening at once, where Cyrus is demanding that Shelby has a secret sign for them to know who each other is. And so he's wandering around the party, like pulling on his eyebrow to try and see who's going to like, who's going to reveal themselves. And no one does for the first part. And then Ruben, who is now in Rich Boy's body, runs into Maya's body, who has Asian girl's essence. And so he takes them up to the roof, and you realize like he wants to come on to Maya, even though it's not her consciousness, but because he has this like, you know, unrequited feelings for her, and it's the eve of the end of his bachelordom, and he wants to fool around. And this woman who is in the body of the woman he likes goes along with it, because I think it's like she knows that they've had this history, and also she's horny and high, so why not? And they start fucking on the rooftop. And honestly, I was like, okay, like this is gonna go like bad, like everyone's gonna get caught in this cheating scandal. And at the same time, Cyrus and Shelby are having a spat because he's turned on by her being Nikki finally, but he doesn't like that she's turned on by him being Forbes. And so he stops that, goes in to end the round.
Okay, wait, I've completely lost at this point. There's like, if you thought that was confusing, like watching it is also confusing. Like it is a lot of, okay, wait, who is that person? Okay, wait, no, that person's in this.
I felt like I got it. I felt like I was keyed in.
I think you have it now, but I, listening to you, did not have it. And I can't imagine someone who has not seen this movie this has any idea
of audio journey on. They wanted. They're watching it as I describe it.
Like, your notepad and pen, yeah. Everybody. We got to draw a map.
Body C with pulse B in body D. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, it's like symbolic logic or whatever. So two of the people are up on the roof, and they're making out when they shouldn't be. Like on this old like railing thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like somebody is going over this railing. Like it's just now a question of who. And I was still at this point thinking that this was maybe going to devolve into like a horror-esque movie. Mm, and so I was like, oh, this guy is going to pitch this girl off the roof. And then we're sort of going to be in this weird... I thought where this was going at this point was like, oh, someone is going to murder somebody in a different body. And then we sort of won't know who got killed / who did the killing. And it's going to be this... And then, you know, other people are going to be trying to kill each other. And so we're going to get down to these last couple people, and we're not actually going to know like who's alive and which bodies that they're in. Which is not how this went. Basically, the two people fall off the roof together, and that would be Ruben, the groom's spirit, with the tattooed guy's physical body.
Yes.
And then the
Asian girl's, two-toned hair.
Yes, the two-toned hair girl's spirit in the frizzy-haired hippie's body, I believe. Yeah. Yes. So now left live. So I'm like, so then the boyfriend and the girlfriend and Forbes and the influencer are all like both still alive in body and spirit.
Yeah. They could switch back.
Yeah. No and problem. They could switch back to their own bodies at the end of this. But then you have the tattooed guy and the hippies' spirits, but their bodies are dead.
Yeah.
And then you have Ruben's body, or the groom's body, and the two-toed Asian girl's body without spirits. So now it becomes this question of like, who is going to end? Because they have to switch back, or maybe they don't. Maybe they don't have to switch back at all. But like it's like a musical chairs kind of a situation where somebody is going to end up in something that they don't like. Yeah. And so this argument, you know, starts about, oh, like who should switch back to who and whose fault it is and all of this stuff. And at some point in this, I can't remember exactly why or how, but the spirit of the tattooed guy is in the body of the boyfriend, the bad sake boyfriend, and calls the police and is like, oh, I killed these two people. I pushed them off the roof. So then,
it was impulsive. He wasn't thinking. He was reacting because they were telling him he'd have to be Ruben. And he's like, I don't want to be Ruben. You be Ruben. And he's like, no, I have my body. I have my life. I have my girlfriend. I want my body back. And so then he sabotages him short-sightedly.
Right.
And frames him so that he won't want to be in his body, so that then they both have miserable lives, I guess.
but a good idea script-wise, because then you have this situation of, okay, well, we all have to figure out what to do before the cops get here, because basically whoever ends up in the body of the boyfriend is probably going to jail.
Yeah.
Because nobody is going to believe this body swapping story.
Yeah.
And so, so then from there on, you just have a lot of like rigmarole of people running around and, oh, this person's tied up and this person's going to switch back this machine. And Forbes tries to leave with the machine, but then they catch him, and Shelby
doesn't want to change
decides
back.
That she would like to stay in the body of the influencer. She doesn't want to go back to her regular body. There's just a lot of stuff going on for the next, 20 minutes, half hour, which is very fun, but is ultimately just leading to the question of like, well, who at the end of the saga is going to end up in which body? And I was still thinking, oh, maybe more people are going to die, but more people don't die.
No, it's just a battle of wills and this sort of cat and mouse game, mainly between Shelby wanting to be the hot girl and giving up her life with Cyrus because it was revealed how she was second choice anyways.
Yeah.
And so then she utilizes this as an opportunity to see like how much he'd accept her and like offers him the chance to be with Nikki forever as her or have her return to her body. And he chooses Nikki, which is every girlfriend knows that's not what he's supposed to say, you know? And it's funny because Cyrus is just like getting more and more like frazzled and frantic and honestly like takes the cake, is having the most fun in the second half because you can just see his brain starting to explode with frustration over not being able to control or manipulate his girlfriend anymore and the situation just getting more and more out of hand. And then there's suddenly a hard cut when the police arrive. And they're all just like wrestling to get back in their bodies. And the machine switches and we don't know who ended up where. And then it cuts to a chapter called Coda. And you're introduced to a new character.
I have a question though. So was it part of this? Like, did they? Because I don't think. Does anybody ever switch genders?
No.
Is that like allowed or?
I'm sure it's allowed because technically they did, because spoiler alert, Forbes was never Forbes.
Oh yeah. Oh yes. 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 Wait, that's true. That's true. That's true.
But I imagine one, it was for the story's, you know, hetero lens of relationships
and also to play with.
And also to spare us the discourse about a man being like, I have boobs now.
Well, right. Well, I also think it does make it easier, sort of, that it's like the guys just all kind of switch. It's like the three guys switch bodies and the three girls switch bodies. And even when they're sort of discussing as to who could switch bodies later, there's never Shelby's never like, well, I want to be a man. Like, there's never any of that energy. It's always like, oh, the girls just want the other girls' bodies and the guys want the other guys' bodies. But yeah, I also did have this thought early on. So one, there's this bride, Ruben's fiance who never makes an appearance in the movie. Well, I mean, I guess she shows up like briefly at the end, but it's like she's not a main character.
Yeah,
and
no,
then also there's this whole plot line about Forbes's younger sister who somehow like was at this party and got drunk and maybe hooked up with somebody. So I was thinking early on, like, are we gonna see either of these people show up? Like, like if this is a killing, like, could it be one of them? And we learn in the coda that Forbes's sister is actually been pretending to be Forbes all along. He switched bodies with her before the movie even started. She took the case, fled, came to this party to wreak havoc on these people who
get revenge.
Yeah, you know, caused her all of these issues when she was a minor at this party. And so
she had some sort of nebulous mental breakdown.
Right.
And
yes.
Forbes didn't like see her again until the eve of this party, I guess, where he introduced her to this game, and she saw her opportunity and really made shit happen.
Beat him over the head with a lamp, and then like fled and.
Yeah. And supposedly so, from
So she at the end takes Forbes's body. Is that who?
No, so she has Forbes' bodies through the party, and so she wreaks havoc. And then Forbes, in Beatrice's body, comes after the party's over as the bride's weeping because she's been left at the altar and runs into the new Forbes, who, in fact, is the tatted guy's soul. The tatted guy's, like, spirit. So he's
Yeah,
he's like, oh, whoa, what's happening? But and he catches us up on where everyone else ended up.
But and the sister is in Forbes's body still.
No, the sister has escaped with the machine. The sister has escaped, and you realize her big plan was.
Wait, but whose body is she in at that? At
she
the end
is in Nikki, the influencer's body. So she's leveled up. She's leveled up. She's escaped with her machine, her gorgeous life, her happy ending, and just like flees into the sunset basically. And so you realize that Maya, the artist, is in the two-toned hair girl's body, living life, being reborn. The tatted wealthy guy, used to be wealthy, is in Forbes's body, but he's also been robbed blind because earlier in the party, Beatrice / Forbes got into his phone because, again, facial recognition, guys, get that two-factor authentication, transfers $3 million somehow pretty easily and steals all his money. So that was step one of Beatrice's plan. She stole all his money. So he's now in Forbes's body with no access to his tatted rich guy's, you know, finances, which also is bad news for Cyrus, who is back in Cyrus's body in prison, charged with the murder of tatted rich guy, who also conveniently lost all his money that night too. So it's not looking great for him. And Shelby is again in Shelby's body, and Cyrus is trying one more Hail Mary to get her to help him by like saying like, I did everything you wanted. I love you. It doesn't have to be the wig thing. We won't have to do this again. And Shelby finally gets her moment of sweet, sweet justice. Not justice. Sweet, sweet revenge. Okay. She maybe goes overboard in the, you know, the crime maybe doesn't fit the punishment. The punishment maybe more than the crime, but she tells him off in one final callback to an earlier lecture he had given her. And that's it. That's the chaotic ending. So now Forbes is stuck as his sister Beatrice, and Beatrice is now Nikki. And Nikki, poor Nikki got the short stick and is Reuben. So Nikki, white influencer lady, is now black jilted bride. No, jilted groom.
Because Reuben's actual spirit
is dead. Yeah.
Yes.
So
chaos. Wasn't that easy, everyone? Would you follow along?
You get it. It was like
who needs to see the movie after that?
Yeah. You just experienced it. You're welcome. There was also a series of peanut butter and allergies and EpiPens and mirrors and vaginal art. There was a lot. There was a lot happening. It's true. Yes. But yeah, this is just your reminder to not drink and do drugs with people you don't trust. You know, like it all went awry pretty quick in ways that I think sober people might have been able to anticipate.
I think it had less to do with drugs and had more to do with never sign up for a body swapping machine.
Well, yeah.
In a remote location with people who you don't know that well. And someone who might want to get revenge on you from, an incident a decade prior.
Yeah. And always put on some sort of passcode beyond facial recognition. So keep those passwords safe.
Yeah. Especially if you have easy access to millions of dollars.
Yeah. Yeah, just untold access. I've always wondered that because I'm like, if I try to transfer $10,000, I think my account will be frozen. You know what I mean?
Yeah, or you need some sort of like extra.
I guess they just don't trust me. I don't have enough money for them to turn a blind eye to what I want to do with my accounts.
Who knows? It's like technology in movies is always a bit suspect. If they can swap the bodies, then why are we questioning the banking endeavors here, I guess?
Yeah.
But I thought this movie was good. It was very fun. It was very good for a Netflix movie, I thought. It also made me wonder, like, how come, like, so this random guy can come up with this and M. Night Shyamalan, the best he can come up with is Trap. I'm like... This is
well, arguably the best he came up with was The Sixth Sense. So we'll have to see how this director fares going forward. You know, this could be his one hit wonder. It was very clever, very tight. And like you said, a nice script that I think reflected the creative control he was allowed.
Okay. Well, good selection. Thank you, Shelby, for picking this. I'm like, what's coming up next week that we could possibly see? I feel like we have to be getting into big movies at this point, right?
That's what I thought. I think there is a...
Well, the problem is that stuff... Now we're in that phase where it's like, we're like, oh, this movie comes out this week. And it's like, oh, no, that movie actually only comes out in one theater in New York and one theater in LA and won't be wide for a bit.
It's not Wicked. Wicked is pre-sale available, there was one that I was like,
We Live in Time or whatever.
Oh yeah.
That should be coming out, I think. Anora also comes out this week. If we want to do an episode on that probably won Best Picture. Although that, now that I say that, I feel like that might be a limited release. Saturday Night came out.
Ugh, yeah, it did.
The Apprentice. There's always The Apprentice.
Yeah, you're right. I really thought I saved us with this Netflix piece and got us an extra week, but now it seems like an even worse.
Megalopolis?
We Live in Time is out in my theater, so we can do that one.
Okay. Okay, so we can talk about cancer.
I love it. And Andrew Garfield's chicken shop
is in the body of the doctor, but the doctor is actually in the body of the nurse. And the nurse was in love with the receptionist.
In the cancer cell.
Yes, exactly. this will be fun because next Monday I have a cancer doctor's appointment as well. Oh, so next week will just be cancer week all the way around.
Yay! Well, sending you positive vibes. I think it ends well for the movie, but no spoilers. I'm sure it's a happy cancer film.
Yes, as they all are.
Yeah, famously.
There is a scene where they go, hospitals always have a special cafeteria for rich people. Let's go down and rob lobster out of the fridge. So
that wasn't cancer, that was...
Yes, fibromyalgia or something, whatever. Where they have the mucus in the lung because they can't...
It was Crohn's disease, I don't know. It was
something. Some disease I've never heard of where you can't be 5 feet near the other person. Well, no, it's...
Yeah, I mean, that's the point.
Other people with the disease that you can't be 5 feet?
No, it's every, well, that especially, but it's 5 feet for everyone because you have a weakened immune system, which you should appreciate. I mean, that's your number one.
Wait, but didn't she have like nurses and stuff?
Yeah, but she was a wait. I don't know. We watched that literally like 6 years ago. Like, I don't.
Wait, and what I'm saying is I thought it was just the two of them who couldn't be near each other.
I don't think so. I'm trying to remember now, but maybe that's true. Maybe they, I don't like, why know. Would they, why would they, you know what? We can do a rewatch. You want to do a 5 years later?
5 years later, that in captive state.
Yeah. Which oral history.
No, we actually, I can't, they can't, I can never watch those movies again. Okay, well, the real fans know about that episode. The real fans know about that one.
Yeah.
Oh dear God. Okay, well, we'll be back next week to discuss a cancer movie. In the meantime, I hope that you understood at least half of what we talked about in this episode. Mostly just go watch the movie. Just go watch the movie. It's better than...
I think I did a good job, but it is better.
This is one of the rare occurrences where the actual movie's better than us talking about it. It doesn't happen often, but it happened today. Okay, well, thank you everyone for listening, and we'll be back next week. Bye!